Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening to everyone. This is the day God has made. He has allowed us to assemble ourselves together to explore the Word of God in fellowship, the body of Christ. And anyone that is listening, today is a good day. Tonight is a good night. And we're going to join ourselves together to study the Word of God. I first have to thank God for the opportunity for allowing me this great honor to be able to go before his people. And I thank each and every one of you who calls on the line week after week. I know there's many things that you could be doing, but because of your commitment unto God, not to me, you decided to just come and hear the Word of God and see what the Spirit has to say and put yourself in position to be able to receive the blessings that God has in store for us. And I thank you. I thank Jesus for becoming our Savior. And I thank the Holy Spirit for living inside of us. Well, it's Wednesday night. It's time for words of wisdom. And it's my prayer that it's always plain and simple. And now it's time for us to get into the Word. We saw that the title of our lesson is Jesus is the best gift of all. You think of Christmas and you think of gift giving, but I want you to know that Jesus is the best gift of all. And he is the reason for the season. You have to believe it to be able to achieve it, to understand it, and to grow in it. And we're going to come from the book of Luke, the second chapter, the 4th through the 20th verse. And as always, I play a song to lead us to drop God's throne of grace. And then I open the floor for anyone who would like to pray. And you know, if you would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. So at this time, I'm going to play the song, and we'll come back, go to God's throne of grace, and then we'll explore the Word of God together. I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. Amen, amen, amen. I thought that song was appropriate because the scriptures we're going to expound on is talking about when Jesus was born. At this time, we have to go to God's throne of grace. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic and then we'll explore the word of God together. God is extending an opportunity. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our High Tower, the beginning of all beginnings and the end of all ends. Dear Lord God, we come tonight as humble as we know how. God, we came to study your word, and we know you right in the middle of it. God, nothing happened, take you by surprise. And you have ordained this night before the foundation of the world, and we are here gathered together on one accord. And Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, your Son and your Spirit. I thank you, dear God, for loving on us. Even while we were yet in our sins, you sent your Son. So I thank you, dear God. God, I realize that Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the representation of love, pure love. And I thank you for allowing your Son to come to save a wretch like us, to save a wretch like me. Because God, once I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Lord, I thank you. We were all destined to die. We were all as dead men walking. We was found guilty because of sin. And Jesus was born, and he gave a verdict of not guilty for all who accept the gift, the free, perfect gift that is being given. So, Lord, I thank you. I praise your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God. Well, it's time for Bible study tonight. Many callers have came on the line since we began. So I'll give the title of the lesson again, the scripture where it may be found for those who need to get their Bibles. And then we're going to explore on the word of God. The title of the lesson is, Jesus is the best gift of all. And he is the reason for the season. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. We are coming from the book of Luke, the second chapter, the 4th through the 20th verse. And as always, I do a little background. So tonight I'm going to do a background, and I want to let you guys know that Jesus was not an afterthought. Jesus was not an afterthought. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus Christ. Every analogy, every foreshadowing, it points to Jesus Christ because that's just the way that God planned it. God wanted to give the people hope. So he let them know all through the Old Testament by prophets. Through prophecy and by knowledge and revelation of man, that even though Jesus hadn't arrived, one day he would, and he'll have the ability to become a sacrifice for mankind, and that whosoever believes would not perish, but have a everlasting life. What a mighty God we serve. And you see, God always give us evidence. And just like he gave that to the people in the Old Testament, I'm going to use some of that for our background tonight. And if you guys remember anything from last week's lesson, which was why did Jesus have to come? Tonight we introduce his coming. And we'll see why all of this had to take place. You know, many people know, oh, Jesus was born in a manger. Many people know that there was no room in the inn. Many people know that he was with his mother, Mary, the virgin, and his earthly father, Joseph. Many people know that he was born. They may know that he died. But do you really know why? It's real important. We have to sometime take time and connect the dots. So I'm going to go back to come forward. You see, in Genesis, the third chapter, man fell. You know, God had did everything perfect for Adam and for Eve. Told them what they could do and what they couldn't. And because of disobedience, they ate of the fruit. A trick of Satan. Sin entered the world. Chapter he created. Second chapter he created and created man. And it's amazing, by the third chapter, men start leaning to their own understanding. And the fall of man came. But in Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy I like to say in the Bible, given by God himself, he said, I will put enmity, which means I will make enemies between thee and the woman. Talking about Satan is the thee, the woman is Eve. Well, you know, mankind, seed, the woman's seed is mankind. And between thy seed, Satan, and his imps, you know, when Satan was expelled from heaven, one-third of heaven went with him, and he had that with him. But now in 2020, we see that he has more seeds. People will do anything that seem it right in their eye, that won't look to God. You're either following God or you're following Satan. You know, it's either God or it's Satan. So the seeds of Satan, it's people who want to do and live as Satan wants them to. And the seed of the woman is those who's going to accept Christ as their Savior. You're saying, what he said? He said, I will bruise his head and thou shalt bruise his heel. What God said in that prophecy is that he would bruise Satan's head. And Satan's head being bruised, that was a mighty blow. You see, Satan is not going to have the victory. The victory is in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said, God said, that's my son. Look at this scripture, Genesis 3. He said, yes, they're going to bruise his heel. You know what they did with Jesus' heels on the cross. He said, his heel's going to be bruised. He said, but Satan's head is going to be crushed. And immediately after man fell in Genesis 3:15, God lets us know we have the victory through Christ Jesus. And he was going to send his son to set the world free. He was going to send his son that all of us could have a chance to the tree of life. We were all dead men walking, like I said before, going straight to death row. But Jesus came, and those who accept him as their Savior have a chance at the tree of life. And that's when the beginning came, and that's when God decided that he would send Jesus. I ain't talking about Revelation. I'm talking about in the book of Genesis. Hallelujah, y'all. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus is not an afterthought. God knew that man was false. And in his master plan for you, me, and everybody, Jesus was included because that's just the way he do it. And then I went and looked in Isaiah 7 and 14. And Isaiah said, talking about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Y'all know Emmanuel means God with us. Hallelujah. God was talking about sending a Messiah in the Old Testament. And then I went to Isaiah 9 and 6, and this is one that I love to hear, read, and see. It said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Then I went over to Micah 5 and 2. And it said, but thou Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel, whom going forth have been from the old, from everlasting. God say he's not going to come in with stars and stripes and banners and tinkling. He said, but he's going to be the one. And then I went to 2 Samuel 7 and 13. And this is what he said. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You know, there's many prophecies, and when they say establish the throne, many times you might read the Bible and it says the son of David. The reason you see that is because David was the line that Jesus had to come through, the line of Judah. Hallelujah, y'all. And Jesus was going to have to come from this line. So you see, everything that God was doing was lining that up. Because you see, God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they that their descendants would rule forever. Now you see, when this world is over and Jesus Christ establishes new kingdom in the Jerusalem, in the new Jerusalem, he's gonna be our king, our Lord, and our master forever. See, that's what that scripture is talking about. He said, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. See, God kept giving them information that they could hold on till their changes come. The same hope we have. But you see, we got the blessing to be able to know that Jesus has come. And he is king, and he's the high priest. He's the great shepherd. What a mighty God we serve. And yet people still don't follow him. Some people still don't acknowledge him. But God knew that too. God knew that from the beginning, from before the beginning, before the foundation of the world. But I thank God for Jesus. And so when we look at this, that's how I can say with confidence, confidence that Jesus was not an afterthought. And so if we go into the lesson that we have tonight, I'm going to just read you the scriptures. And we could pinpoint some of the things that the scriptures backed up. You see, everything that God said about in the Old Testament, you could find the scripture in the New Testament where it was fulfilled. Because if God said it, it had to be fulfilled. And everything that God said was fulfilled in the new. And yet there are still prophecies that haven't been fulfilled as yet, because the appointed time has not come. But if we look at our scriptures, I'm in 2 Luke, the 2nd chapter, and I'm going to start at the 4th verse. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, I want you to know this. Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, was from the line of David, from the tribe of Judah. Look, come on, y'all, it's being fulfilled. It's no afterthought that God hooked Mary and Joseph together. But Joseph was from the line of Judah. And you see, he lived in Bethlehem. Watch how God do this tonight, y'all. You see, in verse 5, say to be taxed with Mary, his expounding wife, being great with child. Now, there's prophecy that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. Now, Joseph is from the line of David. Now, they had to pay a tax. All of the Jews who were anywhere in the world, because Jews have always been scattered, and they still scattered today. But God said one day he's going to pull them all together in his appointed time. But when you were living back then, no matter where you live, station time, you had to go to the place where you were born to pay your tax. Now, it's ironic that it's tax time. Come on, y'all. And Joseph had to pay his tax. So he had to go to Bethlehem. Now he's with Mary. And she was his expounding wife. Y'all could know the history of the Judaism, of the Jews and their religion as far as engagement. And they would be engaged for a year. And the husband had to go and prepare a place for his wife. And when everything was ready, he would come and get his bride. Isn't that what Jesus is going to do? When Jesus left, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, you may be also. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would tell you. But you see, when everything is ready, y'all, and the time is coming, God said, now, Jesus is coming back for his bride. So Mary was his expound wife and being great with child. That means she was up in the month. And then when we get to 6, and so it was that while they were there, the day were accomplished that she would deliver. Look how God hooked that up. He had her with Joseph, which would fill a prophecy of the line of David. He sent them back to Bethlehem because they had to pay the tax. Now she's in Bethlehem. They're saying it's now the 6th chapter says she's time, it's time to deliver. And verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothing and laid him in a manger. And a manger was like a box. It was a draught. It was in the stable to feed the animals. That's where they would put the animals' food in. And people would say, God say he would come lowly, y'all. He wasn't coming with bells and whistles. God has no respect to persons. And God really showing us with this that it ain't all that ain't necessary. You are who you are. But Mary put the baby, wrapped him, and put him in swaddling clothing and laid him in a manger. Because there was no room in the inn. God had a master plan before the foundation of the world. And it's just the way he planned it. But it's our responsibility to understand, not exactly why, because we'll never know totally the mind of God, but see what God is trying to show us, teach us through it. And verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined around about them, and they were so afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothing, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all men. See, the angels went to give the announcement to the shepherds. And if you knew anything about shepherd in those days, that was like a detestable occupation. The shepherds used to sleep with their sheep. You know, they was probably smelly and everything like that. But the angels of God, they didn't go to the Pharaoh. They didn't go to the king. They didn't go to the Pharisees or the Sadducees. They didn't go to the have, but to the have not. They went and made the announcement to the shepherds. And by 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Let us go see what God is talking about. God is letting this be known to us. And they went with haste. See, they didn't say, oh, I ain't going there because it might not be real. Oh, I'm not going to participate in that. I don't believe in all of that. But they left in haste, and they went and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Hallelujah, y'all. God gave the announcement to the shepherds. Many times people have children today, and they have a baby shower. They send out announcements, and they feel the proudest when they could figure they're sending it to prominent people or people with prominence. I'm talking about Jesus tonight, y'all. And I'm not telling you it's nothing wrong with sending your announcement to people you know and big-time people and, you know, if that's in your circle. I'm not denouncing any of that. I'm only showing you what God did. The shepherd said, we're going to check it out since it was made known to us. And verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. The shepherds came and they saw. And when they left, they was on fire. And they just couldn't keep it to themselves. I could imagine they say it's something like, it's like fire shit up in my bones. I got to be the nobody that could tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. The shepherds went out and started announcing, unto us a child is born. The shepherds, and look what happened on 18. And all they that heard it wonder at those things which were told to them about the shepherds. See, God put it on their mind. See, God puts things on our mind. He has given us everything to live a righteous life. He has saved us, and now that we are saved, we have to answer the question, now what? What do we do with the salvation that God has given us? It's a question we should question ourselves frequently. You see? The shepherds went out. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I had to realize and look at Mary for a little while. Mary was a young girl. Some say even as early as the age 12. God comes to Mary about having a child, being impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Mary agreed. That's why they said a rosary in the Catholic Church. Hail Mary, Mother of God, blessed are thee, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Gave her a name for her obedience. A name that will always have a place in God's creation, God's plan of salvation. Mary. Mary. And Mary was expounded to Joseph. Now she got to figure out how to tell her husband to be. And once she got expounded, even if you wasn't married, it was still considered married in a sense. So because Mary was expounded to Joseph, this is what happened. Mary tells Joseph. And I could imagine, come on, y'all, let's be real. Joseph have a hard time with it. A very hard time, I would imagine. And because he was expounded, as the scripture says, to Mary, even though they may not have been married at the time, Joseph was going to do the right thing. He said, I'm going to give you a divorce, and I'm not going to go into all of these details so that, you know, you won't have to be, you know, shame. But oh, God sent the angel to Joseph and told him, Mary's not lying. What has happened is from God. And Joseph got all right. You see, a part of master plan. See, they say the word says a man who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And see, Joseph found Mary. And God was in a plan. See, God knew Joseph's heart. If he's given the right information, he would make the right decision. God knew that ahead of time. And as I said earlier, Joseph was from the line of David, which qualified him to be an earthly father for Jesus. God chose Mary. I often sit down and wonder, I don't believe that Mary was the only, well, I'm sure Mary was not the only virgin at that time. And I ain't gonna even say she was the only one that did everything right. But you see, God, in his ultimate wisdom, and because he's sovereign, he gets to choose who he wants. And when it all came about, and I'm sure they shocked Mary, showing it Mary, and when they realized the real deal, some of them may have pondered in their hearts, as Mary is pondering in this scripture, why not me? People ask themselves that all through the ages. That should have been me. I should be the one that have thus or so. I went to college. They didn't. I'm prettier than her. I'm smarter than him. But God does the choosing. Hallelujah, y'all. So Mary is pondering in her heart. In verse in verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, we see the manger scene. We see what really happened. God sent the angels, told the shepherds came back. The scripture says it was Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. It don't say no three wise men. It amazes me so much that all of our, I ain't going to say your life because I don't know about you, but all of my life, I always thought it was the shepherds and the wise men. You could go right now and see a movie. You could go on the web and search the birth of Jesus, and they're going to have the biggest cup of manger with Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and Jesus, and the animals. They didn't say the three wise men were there because they weren't. There are scriptures that tell us. You see, the wise men was following a star, and the star came up when Jesus was born. You got to remember, they didn't have no transportation other than donkeys and foot. And they had to travel from where they were all the way to the east following the star. And when the star finally stopped to them, the scripture says it stopped over a house where Mary and the boy was. They didn't say Joseph. So Mary and Jesus is in the house. They say Jesus may have been as old as 2 years old. And the wise men went in and praised him and brought him the gift. So I come to tell you tonight, wise men were not in a stable. But they found Jesus in a house because Jesus and Mary had gotten out of the barn. And they had rented a house. And that's just the truth. And when we look at Christmas, we should always look at Christmas with it being representation of a love thing and realize that Jesus is the reason for the season. And let Jesus fill our heart. Let us stop trying to fill our heart with stuff, people, places, and things to say that's going to make Christmas right. Let Jesus fill your heart, your whole heart. And no matter what state you're in, it's going to be all right. Jesus is the reason for the season, y'all. And Jesus wants us to always look to him, the author, the finisher of our faith, born to save us, to love us, to bring us in the end to the Father. Jesus is his name. Jesus the Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. Thank God for Jesus. See, Jesus had to come to save a wretch like us. The day we see that he did come. And then follow it. Expound on it. Grow in it. You know, the next time we see anything about Jesus in the Bible after his birth, when he was 12 years old, when they made the trip to Jerusalem. And he stayed back. Then the next time we hear about Jesus, John the Baptist is preparing the way. Well, before Jesus get baptized, he's tempted by the devil. You see, Jesus got baptized. See, we get baptized because of our sins. Jesus got baptized to show us an example because Jesus knew no sin. Jesus got baptized. He didn't begin his ministry till he got baptized. And when Jesus got baptized, he preached, teach. He collected his disciples. And after a three-year period, they killed him. But this is our lesson for tonight. Let us keep Jesus in our hearts. Yeah, it's good to give gifts. It's good to do all of those things. But we have to remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, because the real Christmas story is the story of God becoming a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. And you might ask yourself, why did God do such a thing? And the answer is love. The scripture says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. And then you might ask, why is Christmas necessary? And you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe in Christmas because they don't believe in Christ. How could you believe in Christmas when it represents the birth of Christ and you don't believe in Christ? Do the math. So I would say, for those who believe, why is Christmas necessary? Because we needed a Savior. And then why do we celebrate Christmas? Let's get the real deal. You see, it's a special opportunity to remember and show gratitude for what God did for us. Every time we think of that little baby boy, we should be shouting, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You see, it's to show gratitude for what God has done for us. And when we remember his birth, we should be worshiping him. We should be living our lives in a way to give God glory, giving each other gifts as an offering of love. And we should be especially conscious of the poor and less fortunate. God wants us to have this attitude all year long, y'all. Don't let December the 25th stop you from being kind. Don't let it stop you from doing something for someone that may have a need. Don't let it be the only time. And for many people, it is the only time. And for many people, it's no time. The true meaning of Christmas, again, I say, is love. God loved his own and provided a way. We are his own. And the only way for us to spend eternity with him, he gave his son to take our punishment, y'all, and to take away our sins. He paid the price in full, and we are free from condemnation once we accept the free gift. Jesus is a free gift offered to everyone who accepts. And God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And I do understand that for many people, Christmas is a time of sorrow. They don't have the extra money to buy presents for their children, family, or friends. Many are sad at Christmas time when they think of the loved ones who are not able to come home for various reasons. You know, we were scattered in New Orleans. Many of our loved ones went to other places and they lived there and they're not always able to come back. Or those who has passed away. And even a turkey dinner may be only a wish and not a reality for some. But I come to tell you that Christmas can be a season of great joy. It is a time of God showing his great love for us. It can be a time of healing and renewal and strength. And I need to tell you, no matter what situation or circumstance you may be facing at that at this time, no matter what you're going through, it's never what you go through, it's who you go through it with. No matter how it looks, because God is always and still working it out together for your good. And no matter what anyone tell you, Jesus is the reason for this season. You may not have all that you want, but if you have the joy that God has given us and the peace that surpasses understanding, you will receive the joy in your heart. And you would learn to do as Paul said, be content in whatever situation you may be in. Let us rejoice, not in what we have or what we don't have or what we did and didn't do, no condemnation, but let us rejoice in God's master plan and Jesus obeying the will of the Father, that all of us have the victory. The scripture says that God said to Adam and Eve that Satan hate will be get a blow to his head. And because of that, let us rejoice, because we have the victory through Christ Jesus. It's all by God's grace. Everything through Christ Jesus. Thank God for Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Thank God. Thank Mary. Thank Joseph. Thank the shepherds for sharing. And thank God for each and every one of us and for what we're going to do to help build the kingdom of God here on earth. Thank God for Jesus. That's our lesson tonight, and I have a soloist that's going to sing a song, hallelujah, that is so appropriate at this time as well, a song that I love and is dear to my heart, and I pray that you enjoy it, and we'll go ahead and end this Bible study at that time. Minister Mackey, your mic is open.
Okay, just thanking the Lord for being here this afternoon. Thank you for the word that we have so far. That went forth, oh God. We do thank you. And we do bless you and magnify your name, Lord.
And worthy of the praise, honor, and glory. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels tried? When you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, oh, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lamb will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know
that your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day heal the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The child you were holding, he is the great I am. Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? Oh, oh, Mary, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lamb will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This child you were holding, he is the great I am. Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's our lesson for tonight. Anyone have any questions? Want to say thank God for Jesus? Talk about what Christmas means to them or anything. You can do so at this time. And for anyone who wanted the scripture where the wise men found Jesus in the house, you could go to Matthew's 2nd chapter, 11th verse. Well, go to Matthew's the 2nd chapter, the 10th through the 12th, but it's in 11 as well. And I suggest you read it. This is Bible study. We grow in grace and the true knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our lesson for tonight. Anything to say? We could do our benediction at this time. If anyone would like to do the benediction, you can at this time. Thank you so much, Minister Mackey. Anyone would like to do the benediction? Well, I'm going to do 2 Peter 3 and 18. And the scripture reads, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. And let the church say amen. And that's our program for tonight. I pray that each and every one of you have a merry, merry Christmas, that God has given you the desires of your heart. and things that you thought was important to do, God saw you through it. Because whatever you need, God has it. And God wants us to be festive. He wants us to spend time. He wants us to be with our family. He wants us to give gifts. Look how awesome God Jesus is. It's Jesus' birthday, and it has been established that we give gifts to others. Jesus said, I don't need anything. Jesus said, me and my dad own the whole world. He said, but let it be an opportunity of your giving and caring and sharing with one another. And that's a beautiful thing. So until next week, if God allows us, we'll meet back on next Wednesday. I think it's the 29th, which would be our last lesson of this year. Hallelujah, y'all. It will be our last lesson of this year and our first lesson directing us to the new year. So everybody, go in peace. And I pray everyone happiness. And let Jesus fill your whole heart. Until we meet again, good night. And I just want you to know that God loves each and every one.